As I begin the sermon this morning, I want to acknowledge that some scriptures can't be read and heard impartially, and this gospel today is one of them. Many have been hurt by these scriptures. The church and other institutions have used these scriptures to oppress and to exclude people. So let's be mindful of that as we delve into what they might mean. Jesus, in the gospel reading, is caught up in a religious conflict about sexuality, with some people quoting scripture at him. Doesn't that sound familiar? Note the people in the first century were already fighting, wrestling about the meaning of the Bible. Even then, it was hard to figure it out. On the matter of divorce, the Torah, the first five books in the Bible, actually had very little to say. It only mentions it once and then in passing. But we know from other sources that first century Jewish experts disagreed about the grounds of divorce. Could a husband divorce his wife just because he felt like it? She burnt the toast? Or only if she had committed some serious fault, like dented his car? And Jesus was being asked to take sides in this argument. But instead of just wading into the argument in the way they expected, Jesus does something more shocking. He says, Moses only allowed divorce in the first place because of your hardness of heart. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying that you can't assume just because it's in Scripture that it's the will of God. Some Bible verses express nothing more than the stupidity, the bigotry, the hardness of heart of the people who received them in the first place. And who knows, maybe of the people who read them now. After all, Jesus talks to them about your hardness of heart. He's not talking about the scum of the earth. He's talking here to the particularly good people, those who pay close attention to religion, who fulfill its demands, respectable pillars of the community, and they're all male. And I suspect that's the particular issue in this case. They're all male. The Torah is addressed to males. And it was males who made decisions about marriage. Marriage wasn't the sort of thing we tend to assume today, you know, two people falling in love, wanting to create a family together, etc., etc. Rather, marriage back then was a contract between the parents' families. The woman's family gave her away to bear a new generation of children for the husband's family. She never even became a member of the husband's family. If she bore a male heir, and if she and the boy both lived long enough, they would finally have a secure place in it when it became her son's family. But if she was divorced and sent away, the son remained with his father, and she just had to hope that her birth family could and would take her back. This may be hard for us to imagine, but it was the norm of those times. Marriage was something men did to women, and so was divorce. And divorce was usually a disaster for the woman. There was no welfare state. Divorce was the door to destitution. So Jesus takes this accepted cultural practice, divorce, and the scripture that was seen as backing it up, and he says, this is not what God meant at all. This just reflects the mean-spiritedness, the hardness of heart that's treated as normal in society. And he puts the questioners right on the spot with it. Moses said this because of your hardness of heart. But you notice that Jesus isn't, in fact, discarding the scriptures, even though he's rejecting one particular text. Yes, he's turfing one text out, but he's also calling another one in and making quite a big deal of it in a way no one had before. The text he introduces is from Genesis. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And he adds his own commentary. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. God, he says, has created something good here. You men can't just use it for your convenience and then discard it when a better match, a better family alliance comes along. The Torah preserved the power that men had in a patriarchal society to dominate. Jesus abolished divorce in order to protect women. Incidentally, Jesus wasn't the first person to notice that divorce was a bad thing for women. Centuries before, the prophet Malachi had said a similar thing. And Jesus grounds his changing of Scripture in Scripture itself. God didn't intend to authorize hardness of heart. God intended to teach us how to love one another and to do good to one another. Of course, some later Christians turned Jesus' statement into yet another license for hardness of heart. In Eastern Christianity, it was held that Jesus was establishing an ideal for marriage, a goal. But in Western Christianity, held that Jesus was establishing a new law. No one can be divorced, and if they are, they can't remarry. So does that condemn you to spending the remaining decades of your life with an abusive spouse? Well, we're terribly sorry, said the powerful church, but that's a rule. Rules are rules. And hardness of heart sneaks in the back door again. For what Jesus is really doing in this story is turning the use of Scripture on its head. The Scriptures, in effect, he's saying, are not a book of statute law to protect the powerful. They're a book of astonishing insights into God's extraordinary generosity. The purpose of God all through Scripture is the well-being of humanity. If you find things in Scripture that seem to speak otherwise, consider who benefits from it. Whose hardness of heart calls that blemish in the sacred text? Whose hardness of heart is maintaining that interpretation even now? After all, one thing hasn't changed. When religious people read Scripture, we're still quite capable of using it to support and affirm our own hard-heartedness. Christians in the 19th century justified slavery from the Bible. Christians have justified wars by the Bible, inquisitions by the Bible, subordination of women by the Bible, homophobia by the Bible. Hardness of heart is something that keeps on cropping up. It wasn't unique to the Pharisees in Jesus' day. It's not specifically Jewish. It's the property of the whole human race. And you can't escape it by just being religious, and you can't escape it by ceasing to be religious either. And if you quit reading the Scriptures, you not only lose the passages that cater to your particular hard-heartedness, you also lose the ones that might wake you up and suddenly let you see how really big and generous God's love is. The people in our own day who like to wield the Bible as a weapon, they like to claim that they're reading it all literally. Well, they're not. They pick and choose what they will take seriously, just as Jesus did in the gospel reading this morning. They just prefer not to notice what they're doing. The big difference is that Jesus knew what he was doing and said it straight out. Jesus expected something important from the Scriptures. expected to be challenged and surprised by God. And he also expected that when you are challenged and surprised by God, some of the details enshrined in the sacred text will be revealed for what they are, concessions to hardness of heart, and they will have to go. How do you decide which ones to discard? That's still the really big question, isn't it? Well, you know, this passage does one more thing for us. It actually gives us a principle for making such decisions. It says, in effect, when Scripture seems to confirm your own hardness of heart, it's wrong. Ditch it, just the way Jesus did. Conversely, when Scripture breaks open your world and makes it bigger and more loving, it's achieving its true goal. Hang on to that principle. It may not be the whole story, but it's a great place to begin, and it will take you a long way. Hardness of heart is a dead giveaway that we've got it wrong. Only generous love can open the door to the truth called God.